Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to sit down with Max to talk about his awesome Walt Disney World vacation. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, softcover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. This is the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For less than $15, you have insurance against the crowds and great trip planning tools to make that next getaway awesome. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1225 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday. It's amazing how that stuff happens so quickly. Monday's here again. We were just talking on the Friday podcast, but I hope that you had an awesome weekend, and there's no way it's better to dive into this week. It's going to be productive. It's going to be awesome for you. Get in that mindset. We're going to talk some Disney to make it a little bit easier. So joining me today, we're heading up north, up to St. Paul, Minnesota, with my good friend Max. Max, how's it going today?
Good, Mike. It's wonderful to talk to you. I'm excited to talk about this trip. And, you know, the weather is still good up here. We haven't froze over yet.
Yeah, I know. I think some people down in the Midwest and especially like the South think that Minnesota's probably a frozen tundra 10 months out of the year.
Could be accurate, but you know, it's at least that's why I get out of town in January and go to Disney whenever I can.
Well, that's what we're talking about today. Great segue. You're a professional, so that helps. So yeah, we're gonna have a good time talking Disney, and like you said, we're gonna talk about a trip you took last January, which, believe it or not, you know, we've been using every Wednesday a countdown to Marathon Weekend 2018, which is obviously the very beginning of January. But I mean, we're just a shade over 100 days till that happens now. So people are looking forward to those winter trips. So was there a reason other than you got to get out of Minnesota in mid-January, or why did you pick this time?
This is the third time in like odd number of years. We went 2013, 2015, and now again in 2017 in January. We went down in 2013 for the marathon and had such a great time. I went back in 2015, and then a whole heap and group of 16 total decided to go down this year. We just like the time. It's right after kind of the holiday season, and it's not too busy, but there's still that buzz whether you're down there for the marathon or right afterwards.
Absolutely. So talk about, you guys, you know, you said you went with a heap of people. You went with a larger group. So how did this group come together to travel down to Walt Disney World?
This was a gigantic family. It was my wife and her parents and my two brother-in-laws and our daughter, who was 7 months old at the time. And then my mother-in-law's sister and her family. So there was seven on our side and nine on their side for 16 total. And we get along really well, thank goodness. And so we decided, let's make a fun trip out of something we all love, and that's a Disney trip.
Yeah, I love hearing that, because when families can travel together, you make memories forever, and it's great because you're not coming home showing the slideshows to the, you know, the grandparents and stuff. They're there making the memories right there with the kids, which I think is so very special. Now, let me ask you about this, because again, I think this is going to benefit a lot of our audience, that when you get a dynamic group like that, you know, you said you have infants, you have, you know, middle-aged folks, you have people from all spectrums. How does planning happen? Does one person, kind of the Disney expert, probably you, take the lead and just fill everybody else in on what we're doing? Do you have meetings? How do you take care of everybody?
It was mostly myself on my side of the family, and then one other person on the other side that kind of went together. And we went into it knowing that we're not going to be able to do everything together because there's just so many of us. But we planned our park days the same, knowing we might go in separate directions. And we made sure that there was one dinner that was planned. But I took care of everything on my side. Everybody just kind of went with me, and I made all of the fast passes, made all the dinner reservations. The ball was in my court, and being, as you say, a quasi Disney expert, which is, you know, I'm nowhere near what you guys are, but I have at least some knowledge to plan a somewhat successful trip.
Now, the good thing is, though, is, you know, there's so many resources online nowadays that you can, you know, find the answer to really anything you need. And as long as you're sensitive to the traveling group around you, that everybody's going to have a great time, you know, you're going to be golden. Now, let me ask you, as far as like organization before you headed down, we're going to jump into all the memories, because I think a lot of folks really, you know, enjoy the trip planning like I do. Did you, because I mean, with 16 people, of course you weren't doing it for everybody, just your half of your seven. But did you use like Google Docs or anything, like any resources that you found useful for keeping track of everything you needed to?
I actually just printed out my spreadsheet from my trip. I had, I had a spreadsheet to compare and contrast all the hotels on property for the pricing, the rooms that we could get, because we knew we were going to need something that was big enough for our party. The Google Doc, which I was able to share with multiple people, have multiple people looking at it and editing it at the same time, was extremely beneficial to the planning.
That's awesome. Yeah, because then that's something that, like you said, everybody will have access to. It's shareable. I think that technology's really made, you know, large group planning a lot easier than it was, say, 5 years ago. You know, I think if you take advantage of apps, you know, My Disney Experience, you connect through friends and family, you know, shareable documents, that's golden. So you found that worked well for you guys?
Yeah, I found it worked really well. And especially for some of the people that weren't as Disney nerd as I was, they let me plan it, especially the fast passes. You know, I got really deep into where we were going to go, when we were going to do it, what our touring plan was. So I had a great time doing it, and I very much enjoyed getting into the intricacies that a lot of people might not. But when you know that there's a lot of people relying on you to make a good trip, it makes it exciting.
That's a great point. And it's fun. It is. I mean, that's why I enjoy doing what I do now. I love getting to, you know, just have a hand in it. You know, it's very fun for me as a Disney fan. So tell us about, you mentioned you had all the pros and cons for all the hotels, your options, your pricing and so forth. Where did you guys end up, and why did that one top the list, and why did you land there?
Yeah, we ended up at the Animal Kingdom Kidani Village. We actually ended up buying DVC points and had the two-bedroom villa. Both parties had the two-bedroom villa. Our group with seven, theirs with nine. Our group with seven, we had a little more room because there was two bedrooms and a living room area, so that people weren't crammed in on each other. My wife and I had our seven-month-old daughter, and you know, taking any kid that age out of their habitat for a while, it can cause issues, and luckily we didn't have any there, but we wanted to make sure we had room. And then the other party with nine people, it fit them snugly, but we wanted to be in the same resort. We wanted to be close to each other and again, have enough room where we weren't breaking the bank, but had all the amenities there. And the big thing for us was the fully equipped kitchen, because we did end up ordering our groceries through Amazon so we could cook breakfast every morning. And that was great. We landed, and the moment we landed, we booted up our phones and hit purchase. And by the time we got from Magical Express to the resort, our groceries were already there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I always say that, like, we're living in amazing times, but it's crazy. I mean, that you can get your groceries that fast and they're right there in the unit. Myself, you know, I've mentioned on the show here, got to stay in a two-bedroom myself this past summer. First time ever staying anywhere other than a regular standard hotel room. And it was shocking how it changed the way we vacationed, because we had a living room, we had a couch, we could congregate. And I'm sure that with a group like yours, you know, a large family where, you know, you want to make memories in the parks, no doubt, and, you know, have good meals and so forth. But I'm sure that throughout the trip, you might have had times where it was just kind of fun hanging in the living room or maybe sharing a meal at the kitchen table.
Yeah, and if, you know, if somebody wanted to take a nap, they could go into the separate room. It wasn't like everybody had to be quiet and turn everything off to let that person kind of relax. We had enough space that people could do their own thing. If people got up in the morning and were cooking breakfast, you barely even noticed if you were in the other room. So I don't know how I can go back to a normal room after doing that. So that's fun.
Yeah, I can tell you. I know that was the last place we stayed over summer. We're going back for marathon. We're staying at Beach Club, so we're not slumming it by any means. But I, you know, I'm not gonna have a living room. You know, I'm not gonna have a kitchen. But I'm sure it'll do. It'll do. As they say, I'm thinking that old movie, Babe. So let's talk about real quick what you thought of Kidani Village or Animal Kingdom Lodge as a whole, because you know we talked about the unit, but how did that resort as a whole work out for you guys?
It was great. We walked over from Kidani Village over to the other side, checked out the pool there. Just being able to see the animals was amazing. We had gone there before the last time I was at Disney World to have dinner there, and I just kind of fell in love with the place. So the theming was absolutely amazing. The one issue we kind of ran into was shuttles one day. I can't remember which park we were going to, but it just, the shuttle was not coming, and we saw I think we maybe were going to Hollywood Studios, and I think we saw probably 5 Magic Kingdom buses come by. We saw 4 Epcot and a few others, and it was just like, where is our bus? That was the only issue. Everything else was spot on, especially the convenience store they had on site. The dining was wonderful. That was the real only snafu that we hit.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. It feels like there's a conspiracy against you sometimes when you see like multiple buses for another park. Like, okay, where's the camera? they're trying to fire me up here. What's going on? I know that happens to me sometimes too.
Yeah, but beside that, we couldn't complain. We got to see the zebras and the giraffes that were out there. And my daughter, being 7 months old, just seeing the look on her face, she knew that hey, that looks like the stuffed animal that I have, but it's enormous. So she really dug it.
That's awesome. So let's hop into that. So traveling with an infant, we talk about that here when we get the chance on the podcast, because you know, a lot of folks, it rocks your world that next trip when you're going down there. But I've always said that traveling with a child, like Mallory was 6 months old the first time we took her, your child sounds like 7, it's not as difficult as it's going to be when they're like 2 or 3 and they're more mobile and they have strong opinions. They're going to throw fits about not getting the plush Mickey that's $100 because it's bigger than the kid and on Main Street. So tips or things you might have learned with your infant this trip.
Yeah, it worked out really well for us. Like you said, she just kind of sat in her stroller. She wasn't going to be able to run off and hide on anything. We did the park hopper, and that was a little stressful for her, just and us having to unload the stroller, load it into the Disney transportation, unload it again, load her up. So that was one thing that I would probably change going back on another trip with an infant, is maybe not do the park hopper and just enjoy the entire day at the park that I was going to. But she was able to nap in her stroller. We took big advantage of the rider swap when we were able to do that, where one of us would wait outside, and having the grandparents there was huge, because my wife and I could go on a ride and Dakota's grandparents would hold her and wait while we went on the ride, or somebody else would with that gigantic group if somebody didn't want to hop on a specific ride. And then that gives you the opportunity with that rider swap to go on it again later with someone else. So that was great. And there were a few rides that obviously she couldn't go on, but there were plenty that we were able to take her on and have a wonderful experience. The thing that got me was my favorite ride growing up was Haunted Mansion, and she absolutely hated it.
She'll grow into it.
I know.
Don't give up yet. Still got time. No worry. I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah, it was like the ghosts were jumping out and trying to haunt her individually. She just couldn't stand it. But then we went on, Winnie the Pooh, we went on Spaceship Earth and Small World, and there were no issues whatsoever on any of those.
Yeah, you know, that you bring up a great point, though. It's pretty shocking when you go down there the first time with a young child, how many attractions you can still go on as a family with, you know, a child under 1, because you think, we're going to be doing Small World, we're going to be doing, what else, Jungle Cruise maybe. You know, you don't think in your mind's eye you can do things like Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean. and you can. And I think that's the difference between, you know, Walt Disney World and especially Magic Kingdom, because they have a lot of these attractions, but, you know, that over like a Six Flags or something like that, or a Cedar Point.
Yeah, and I enjoy those rides. I love going on Jungle Cruise. I love going on some of these. And it just gave me a whole new perspective to look at her and watch her enjoy it. And I got to do things I'd never done before, a lot of the character meet and greets, because I was always like, oh, I'm going to go on Seven Dwarfs. I'm going to go on Everest. I'm going to go on Big Thunder. But we got to do the meet and greets with, like, Talking Mickey with Pooh and Tigger and Belle. And the photos we got from that are some of the favorite photos I've had since she's been born. And it was just an absolutely wonderful experience to do these new things that I probably wouldn't have done without bringing her along.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, I think a lot of folks stress out like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to see as much because now I have a child. And you don't see as much. But what you do is you see different things, just like you mentioned. And a lot of times you're like, wow, why haven't I taken advantage of this over the past 10 years? You know, this was a neat experience. This was a neat thing. And when you slow down and really, you know, we say stop and smell the roses. That's so true. And it's kind of cool when you get to the end of the night and you're not exhausted, you know, because you've gone slower because of the, you know, the baby. A lot of times, though, you get to, you know, enjoy a performance on Main Street that you ran past last time heading to Space Mountain.
Oh, yeah, there was tons of that. And there were parts of, we had never gone to the Animal Kingdom show, the Lion King one. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, she's kind of napping in our arms, and went and sat in there. And I was amazed at that show. I don't know what I'd been missing, what rock I'd been living under, but she pretty much slept the whole time in my arms, and I was enthralled by that show. just taking a step back and relaxing and actually looking at what you're doing instead of running from one big ride, from one e-ticket to the other, you know, it really changes things and make it, at my point, for the better.
Yeah, I'd imagine too, having the grandparents there is such a it puts your mind at ease, you know. Sit, like you said, you know, if your wife and yourself want to take on an attraction that you know, Dakota can't go on, that, you know, that they're having a good time with their grandchild out there. You know, it's not like if you're there by yourself, your wife's waiting with the baby, you're riding this with the other kid, and you're kind of dividing and conquering, which you have to do. I mean, we were there, you know, we didn't have anybody with us, which was fine, you know, because everybody, we had to do that for Paige. But I would imagine, though, you know, it's very freeing having that extra set of hands, and those grandparents are having a blast doing that, I'm sure.
Oh, and it was absolutely wonderful. And having that entire party, everybody, being that she was, you know, kind of a fresh person to come to Disney World, they wanted to take her on this ride. They wanted to take her on that ride. And they wanted to experience that with her. So there were times that I was like, where's my kid again? But somebody had her and they were on her ride and having a wonderful time. So it was, it made it a lot easier and not as stressful as it could be, I bet.
All right. So tell us about, you know, I'm curious about this, like maybe some memories or maybe a couple of fun stories, like with the grandparents, as far as being in the parks, or memories that you made outside of taking Dakota, you know, for the first time. What were some of the other memories from this trip that stick with you here, you know, 9 months later?
Some of them were just going on the rides, watching Dakota sit with her grandma on It's a Small World and going through this whole thing, this nice slow ride. And, you know, at 7 months, they're not fully grasping everything, but just seeing her go from room to room and scene to scene and watching everything, that was wonderful. And then for the first time, we actually spent time at our resort. We went to the pool at Kidani Village, and just being able to sit by the pool and float around in the water with her and watch her with her grandparents and her aunts and uncles was really memorable for us. Probably the best one, though, was when we went to, I think it's called Fairy Tales with Belle, or whatever the name is, but we went through that. And then at the end, all the kids get to go up and meet Belle. And we were the last ones. And so I walked up and Belle said, oh, it's nice to meet you, Princess Dakota. And the moment she said that, Dakota lit up and like screamed in a good way, not like an ear piercing scream, but just like an I'm excited scream. And the look on Belle's face when they took the photo pass photo was absolutely, the entire room lit up. She made everybody excited. And that gets me into the whole photo pass thing. You guys talk about it all the time on getting photo pass. And I've listened to podcasts from you guys for at least 2 or 3 years. And I just didn't listen. And I'm kicking myself for not doing photo pass. I did it the last day. And that's when we got a lot of great photos. But that is a suggestion, especially if you have a kid. So you don't have to worry about pulling out your camera, taking all these photos. get PhotoPass. It's so worth it. Being able to just walk up to people, get your photo, or swipe your band after a ride and keep those. Oh my goodness, what? I don't know why you didn't say it that 698th time that it didn't stick in my head.
No, you know why? It's because I am a person who is very frugal, and I just, I mean, and I understand why you didn't get it. I'm shaking my head. You can't see me right now, but I'm shaking my head right with you because I'm thinking I have an iPhone 7 Plus in my hand. It does portrait mode. It's got two cameras. It takes the most wonderful pictures. Why do I need to drop 169 extra to get more photos? But the thing is, here's what I've come to, and I think it's Pam Forrester's kind of sold me on this, that you just kind of have to bite the bullet and pay the money and purchase it and just say it's part of the package, because she says this, and I think she's right. When you come home with those images and you get that one shot, like you just mentioned, or, you know, but you're going to get more than that one, but you get just that one shot that's like, this is a memory forever. You know, it's like the Christmas card, or it's like the one you're going to put on the fridge. You know, I think that you don't regret it at that point. You're like, oh, I wish I had that $169 back. Now, you would if you didn't take advantage of it. You got to go in saying there's a PhotoPass photographer in front of Cinderella Castle. Let's get a picture. But I think that, you know, I've come around to saying I don't want to think of it as I spent $169. I want to think about it as my package was slightly more expensive, but I got all these great images on the backside by people who, you know, do this every day, and they can anticipate things that I might not be able to. So I think you're saying the right thing, that it took me a while to come around too, but I think it's worth it.
Oh, definitely worth it. And we got great family photos on Main Street, the pictures of her meeting Tigger and Pooh and Mickey. Even the photos of us on the rides, whether it was Space Mountain or Seven Dwarves, all these photos that then I was able to, anybody that was attached to me, I was pretty much able to get their photos and then share them with them. And it was my treat to them. You know, they can buy me a Mickey bar sometime later. But, those are memories that I probably couldn't have had with my own camera. So it was, next time I will do it up front. And I will take very much advantage of that feature.
Now, you also mentioned in the email you sent me when we were setting this up that you had some special memories there in the Harmony Barbershop in Magic Kingdom. Want to share that with the audience?
Yeah. So, and you kind of got me onto this. You talked about every time you go down to Magic Kingdom, you go and get your haircut, and I didn't need one, but we looked into more the first haircut. And 7 months old, she didn't really have much hair, but we booked her and her her cousin Lola, who was 7 months older, so 14 months and 7 months. We got him in the chairs. Just the photos and the videos we got of them getting their hair cut, the Mickey ears, the package. For $20, it was the best thing. And those Mickey ears, she wears those pretty much every day for breakfast and dinner at our house. It was the best investment I've ever made. I actually have a pair of my own ears, and a lot of times she'll put hers on, and then she points at mine, and then she points at my head, and so then I have to put them on, and we just have a Mickey Mouse parade around our house with our ears. And it was, if you can get there, it doesn't matter if your kid is bald, do it and have the best experience. They treat your kid like they're princesses or princes, and the package that you get is phenomenal.
Yeah, because I've been lucky to be, you know, Mallory was bald until she was about in kindergarten. We were worried she's going to be bald her whole life, but now she's got a lot of hair, so it worked out. But, you know, it's one of those things. I've been in there getting my hair cut, watching, you know, another child in the next chair getting their first haircut, and it's precious. And it's one of those things, close your ears, Disney, earmuffs, it's underpriced. they get it from us, you know, at the $5 Mickey bars, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of those things. It's a great value. Go for it every single time.
Yeah, we can't take that memory back, and she's got the certificate. So even if she goes somewhere else, when we actually do give her a real haircut, her first official haircut was at Magic Kingdom on Main Street. And we can't take that away from her.
That's awesome. So let's talk dining here for just a little bit. And you mentioned you guys used Amazon to get some groceries for breakfast and stuff at the villa, but nice meals. You guys have any memories that way?
We do a lot of just quick service, and one of the places that we hit up multiple times was Pecos Bill's. you get a lot of food. It's right in Magic Kingdom. So we went there a few times and would share stuff. We do a lot of sharing of our quick service so that everybody can kind of try new things. But my favorite thing is at Sleepy Hollow. It's the chicken waffle sandwich that thankfully they brought back. It's not the same as it used to be, but that and a Mickey bar, and I'm a happy man. We did do one night when we were at Epcot, we went to Rose and Crown as the entire group, two separate tables, and had a nice meal there as an ADR. But most of the time it was, eating breakfast at the resort, grabbing a quick lunch or snack as we could throughout the day, whether that was the chicken waffle sandwich, whether that was Pecos Bills. And then in the evening, besides the Rose and Crown, we'd just maybe find a slice of pizza at Pinocchio's Village or something here and there and just keep going.
Well, it's a great way to not only kind of appease a larger group. That's smart with a larger group because it's hard to find a restaurant that everybody's going to be happy with, especially table service. Plus, you had an infant. Plus, you're trying to maximize your time. So I totally get that. Now, you guys were there for about, five or six nights. Did you feel like that was like the perfect length, or was it too short, too long? What'd you think?
I thought it was the perfect length. We had, we had a complete Magic Kingdom day. The first day I got there, I was still an employee for CBS, the local CBS affiliate. So I was able to get a media pass that my wife and I were able to use. Dakota, being so young, was able to get in free. So we kind of had a free night to get into the parks because we'd already bought our tickets for the other nights. We actually went and met some friends from Minnesota at Epcot that first night. And so that, and then we had four other park days. 5 days at the parks plus enough time at the resort. It was kind of the perfect length trip for me.
That's awesome, because that's just about right, too, for January. And plus, when you have a larger group, I tend to go a very long time, but I'm like the huge, obviously, Disney nut. Like, I could be down there for a month and still be happy, where not everybody in my traveling parties necessarily, they enjoy it, but you know what? They're ready to get home after a little bit. We went for 18 or 19 days in July with the cruise and everything, and that got to be a little much for my kids and my wife. I loved every minute, but we're not all like that. So I think that's a great point. And how did you find January to be that time of year with as far as weather and, post-marathon weekend crowds? Was it everything you expected? Because you've been there that time before.
Yeah, I've been there. And this one was completely after the marathon. I've been there for the marathon, running it. I've been there when the marathon was going on. And just as a spectator, the crowds were a little lower than during marathon week. It still had some of those, that buzz. You still saw the people walking around with their medals on, but it was nowhere near as busy as right in the heart of marathon time. And the weather, for us, we're in Minnesota. We're coming from where it's 0 degrees or less to warm. And the weather was perfect for us, 70s, 80s every single day. I could not complain about that whatsoever.
So did you guys crack up the Floridians that are, it's 75 and they're with their parkas on going around Epcot? I mean, was that you guys laughing at them?
Yeah, those people are insane.
Like, come to my house for 5 minutes. You'd never make it. That's what I always say, too, because our wind chills. And we'll have days where the wind chill gets down to like 25 or 30 below. It's like it doesn't hurt. Like, you just walk outside the house and you question your existence because it's just like getting punched in the face within 5 seconds. Because I'm sure it's like that quite often for you.
Oh, yeah. The worst for me was 2013 when I ran the marathon. I was training here in Minnesota during the winter. And that was a hot, hot marathon day in January 2013. And I sweat every liquid out within the first mile because it was so hot. It was so humid and my body just wasn't used to it. By the end of that race, I swore I was never going to run again. And, I did. Obviously that lasted about a week, but your body getting acclimated to that is just something different.
Yeah, that's one thing you got to think about when you train for marathon, for those folks that are doing, especially like the half of the full. You got to realize that your long training runs, like the hardest part of your training, regimen, is going to happen in December. And December, most parts of the United States stinks. Like when it's like December 20th and it says, okay, here's your 26-mile run, to wrap up your training. Yeah, a lot of times that's like, 30 degrees for a high that day in St. Louis. So good point. I can only imagine Minnesota.
Yeah, it was tough. But yeah, we've always had good weather every time that I've gone down in January. So Cross my fingers, knock on wood. Even if it got down to 40, I'd probably still be in shorts and a t-shirt because it's still warmer than Minnesota.
Got that right. I'm just like that. All right, as we close it out, any tips, though, that you learned from this trip that you could pass on to the audience so that they could have a little bit better experience? Go with a large group with an infant, what have you. Just throw something out there to help everybody out today.
I'd say just take your time. You know, listen to everybody that's around you. Take a deep breath, relax, but still have fun. With a large group like that, I thought planning was completely integral to make sure that we at least had a base of what we were doing. Also knowing that we're not going to do everything hand in hand the entire time. And then just kind of sit back and like you said, and I've said with an infant, sit back and enjoy and know that it's going to be different, but you're still going to have fun and you're probably going to have even better memories than going without that kid. Just enjoy and go with the flow. And that doesn't work for everybody, but if you're like me, that's the best plan.
Bottom line is you're at Walt Disney World, you're in Central Florida, and it's January. I mean, it's better than being home.
Correct.
That's the way I look at it. If I have to run 48.6 miles, at least I'm in Florida instead of St. Louis. So that's the way I look at
it. Well, that's because you're a dope.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I got to go. I think after this January, I'm going to get my head examined and then, call this craziness off. Who knows? No, Max, I appreciate you get it because you're a marathoner too. So thanks for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it. And hope to catch you down at Walt Disney World soon.
Sounds good. Hope to see you there. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. Stay out of crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation. Check out all the great trip planning tools right now over at touringplans.com. Also, pick up a great read. It's called The Wisdom of Walt by Jeff Barnes. Read about how Walt Disney took his dreams and took action and turned those into Disneyland. And he left us lots of little nuggets that we can use in our lives to make tomorrow a little bit better than today. Get inspired, grab a great read, drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Also, don't forget, we love it when you support the show through Amazon. We talked about it earlier. Anytime you do your online shopping, you can support the show for no cost to you. Just use our affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, and it really helps us out. And thanks to everybody who's doing that. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And drop by the Facebook group. Lots of live video there almost each and every day. Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. We'll be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. We love those shows and hope you do too. So for Max, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.